today's reading is 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you've got the church black Bible, it's 1893. 2 Peter chapter 1:1-11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them written, them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome unto the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Just before we come and have a look at the second half of those verses from verse 5 to 11 this morning, just before we come to look at those, can I flag up next Sunday? Sunday afternoon, the United Service with Shepherd Drive. And
just to look at what this life of, as Peter calls it here, this life of godliness is in action, what it looks like. The life of godliness, he mentions in verse 2. And he then goes on with eight things. He says, add to your faith. Because of what God has done, because of his gift, because of his promises, because of all that he offers to you, because all that he wants to give to you, his grace and his peace, because of that, add to your faith. It starts with faith. Everything starts with faith. That's how you link in with Jesus. Put your faith in him. That's how you get saved. Add to your faith goodness, which is the morality thing. It's about being good as a person. Knowledge. Self-control. Perseverance. Be patient. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. And love. You've got faith, and there's other things. Just notice this as we can't stop on this one, but notice it starts with faith and ends with love. Again, that's always the way it works. If you're interested in looking at the bigger things of the Bible, always starts with faith and ends with love. Love is always the goal. Love is always the goal. He says add to it. It means furnish it. Make it strengthen it. Enhance your faith. Make your faith beautiful. Make it work with these things. Make it attractive with these things. And it's not like getting dressed. You know, you get dressed in the morning and you put certain things on. You've got an order. You don't put your jumper on before your shirt. You don't put your tie on before your shirt. You don't put your trousers on before you put your underwear on. There's a sequence with which you get ready and you get dressed. And this list here isn't meant to be a sequence. It's not like you put on, once you've got goodness, then you work on knowledge. Once you've got your knowledge, then you work on your self-control. We should be adding all of these, right? Develop all of these in our life. It's like the fruit of the Spirit that we mentioned different times in Galatians chapter 4. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? You can tell me some of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience. I'm noticing quite a similarity, aren't you? But those things aren't just, well, use a bit of patience. So I'll add a little bit of patience. I'm not so keen on the goodness bit. So I don't want that. Actually, I'm not a very merciful, kind person. We want to do the kindness bit, but I'll add some of those other things. We're to be developing all of those things. It's the same with this here as well. And Peter says, he says, make every effort. This isn't something that just happens. You've got to put some effort into it. You've got to be intentional about it. Make it your aim to grow, to develop these things in your life. Don't simply settle for second best. Don't settle even for simply being saved. Don't settle. You see, the deal of being a Christian isn't that we get saved and we get our sins forgiven and that's it. The deal is that we get our sins forgiven, we become the children of God. And there's a responsibility
that comes with that, that we become like Jesus. There's a responsibility. If what you're wanting to do, if anyone should be making the mistake of thinking, well, I'll get saved, but I don't want to do the other bits, then you've got the wrong ticket. You're in the wrong place. The ticket that you think you've got is going to get to heaven, it won't get you to heaven. Just saying, well, I want to get to heaven, is not enough. You get saved, you trust Jesus as your Saviour, but he's also got to be the Lord of your life as well. You've got to submit to him. Let him call the shots. Let him be the master. Let him be the king. A true follower of Jesus is someone who's submitted to his rule, to his lordship, control in the life, as well as simply hoping that he'll forgive you and get you into heaven. You can't have one without another. Now, let me tell you a little story, and this is going to lead us on to the second part of what I want to say this morning. And I have to confess to you, as a point of integrity, that with all the other stuff that's gone on this week, I haven't had a huge amount of time, and I'm hugely relying on a sermon by a guy called John Piper. Some of you will know that name. I've mentioned him to you before. So if you want to get the full version, you go online and you will find John Piper. So what I'm saying is not original. I'm just being honest with you here. I've been hugely inspired by what he said. In his sermon on these verses, he speaks and tells the story of a couple called Robert and Glenda Lennon, who were fishing. Good couple. They were fishing from their boat off the coast of Florida. And Glenda, being a typical woman, decided she's had enough of fishing. She wanted to go for a swim. So she gets off the boat and starts to swim, but found that the current took her away from the boat. And she, not being a hugely strong swimmer, was unable to get back to the boat. Her husband, who was not just a good man because he liked fishing, but he was a very, very good swimmer. He'd been a champion swimmer, dived in, swam to her, got her under his arm, started to try and swim back, but found that he couldn't swim against the current and take her back to the boat as well. So they've got a dilemma. They're either both going to die with him trying to save her, or he lets go of her, gets back to the boat, and then tries to go and pick her up. And that was what they said they would do. He let go of her. He said, just tread water. Just don't try and swim. Just keep afloat. Tread water. Lay on your back. And I'll swim back to the boat. And I'll come and pick you up. For 6 hours. 6 hours. Robert Lennon is swimming against the tide, making very little progress. The boat is over there. They can see the boat. He can see the boat, but the current is so strong, all he can do is to swim to keep up, to stand still. Eventually, the tide turned, the current turned, and he's able to swim, and he manages to get to the boat. It's 6 hours on. Gets to the boat, starts to look for his wife, who has been carried downstream by the current. He can't find her. Night falls. Early the next morning, he gets some others. Can we find her? They go out one last desperate effort to find his wife. Miracle of miracles, they find her 20 miles away from where she was. She'd been treading water for all those hours and had drifted away from the spot where he'd left her 20 miles away. You know, that's a great illustration of our Christian life. You see, we have to keep swimming, because if we stop swimming, we will drift. That's the way we are. It's the culture we live in. It's the world. If we stop trying, if we think we'll just stand still and stop swimming and just kind of freewheel, we will get taken away from the Lord. So what I want to say to you this morning, Peter says to us, make your calling sure. So my appeal to you this morning is to swim, don't drift. Swim, don't drift. The tide and the current of our world and our culture is so against us that when we stop putting in the effort, when we just go with the flow, we won't stay where we are. We will actually get taken away from the Lord. That's what happens. The reality is that sometimes in life, we have to swim like crazy just to stay where we are, don't we? We just have to try like crazy to stay where we are. We feel we're not making progress. We're not growing in grace. We're not growing in patience. Those things don't seem to be growing. Actually, they are, but we don't notice them. All we feel is, all I'm doing. And you know this, because most of you tell me about, this is how you feel sometimes. I'm doing all I can, and I'm just standing still. It's like on a treadmill. You're running, but you're not getting anywhere. Sometimes that's where it is. That's where it's at, spiritually. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. The danger is when you stop swimming, is when you stop trying, when you give up and go with the flow, because the flow will take you away from God. A word to those of us who would like to feel ourselves to be a little bit more mature. Be gentle with people when they don't come up to the standards that you think they should be. Be really gentle about making judgments on people, other Christians, because for all you know, they may be trying like crazy just to keep going. They might be like the husband who's swimming against the tide just to stay still. And the people that you look at and you think they're not trying, they might be the people that are trying like crazy and they're just managing to stay still. Hang in with them. love them, keep them going, encourage them, because one day the tide will turn and they will realize how strong they've been and how pleased God is with them and the progress they can then make. Be gentle with those who look. And maybe you feel you're one of those who's treading water at the moment. Be encouraged if you're swimming. Be encouraged if you're trying and you feel you're hanging on by your fingernails, or as we used to say, hanging on by your false eyelashes. If that's where you are, well done. Don't give up though. But whatever you do, don't start to tread water. Because if you just tread water and go with the flow, you will get drifted. You will get taken away from the Lord. And there are dangers in drifting away. The danger is you drift away from the Lord spiritually and the way back is hard. The way back is always hard. It's uncomfortable because at some point you'll have to realize what a fool you've been, the things you've done, the things you've let happen, the decisions you made, the actions that you took, the things that you said because you didn't try, because you'd given up. It's hard to undo those. Just think of the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus taught. That was about somebody who went away. They went with the flow. They went with what they wanted. And it was hard for him. He ended up living among the pigs. It was embarrassing for him to have to go back and say, "Father, I've sinned." That's what you'll have to do. You'll have to go back to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I've sinned. I'm so sorry." And that is incredibly hard. That's a big danger. The second thing is, you see, it could be, if you're just going to drift, if you just want to go along with the current of our culture and our world, it could be an indication that actually you're not saved at all. And that is really serious. In verses 9 and 10 here, if anyone does not have these things, he's short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. You see, if you're not concerned about your faith, if you're not concerned about your walk with God, if you're not concerned about your sin, it could be that you're just drifting, but it could be that actually you're not saved at all. Despite the fact that you go to church, despite the things that you say, you see, the evidence of somebody who's really saved is that they will want to become like Jesus. You will want to become like Jesus because you've got the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Spirit is to put in you a desire to become like Jesus. So it's kind of salutary, isn't it? Of course, the flip side of that is that if you recognize that you are trying, it doesn't matter what rung on the ladder you feel you've got, but in terms of assurance and confidence that you're a Christian, one of the great sources of confidence is that if you desire to become like Jesus, if you are wanting to follow him and you're wanting him to change, if you go to him and if you find you're saying, "Lord, I'm useless. I don't want to be like this. I want to change. Lord Jesus, come in, take control, help me on this." That is a great sign. A great sign that actually you are a Christian. So it works both ways. If you're not bothered, it could be a sign that you're not a Christian at all. And that's a serious thing. You need to think about that. But on the other hand, if you find yourself trying, but feeling you're a failure, but in your heart, you do want to go on with Jesus and you want these things, you know, these things that Peter was mentioning here in your life. If you're wanting to add to your faith, you know, the knowledge and the goodness and the self-control and the perseverance and the godliness and the brotherly kindness and the love, if that's your heart, that's a good sign. I want to encourage you this morning. I want this message to be a message of encouragement that you keep on going, that you don't give up. Yes, Jesus has given you his great and gracious, precious promises. He wants you to abound in his peace and his love. And he's given you everything that you need. But you need to apply that. You need to take him the gift card loaded with his promises and say, "Lord Jesus, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm aiming for. This is what I want. I'm claiming what you've said. Help me, please, on this one." So as we do, we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We ask him to keep changing us little by little. We keep swimming. Keep swimming spiritually. Even if you're standing still for a period in your life, you're just running on a treadmill. Don't give up. Because you know what happens if you give up on a treadmill? You get thrown off the back. So keep going. It will stop. It will get better. And the reward is wonderful. May God help us and bless us as we seek to work with him, live with him, live for him, as we devote and dedicate ourselves to him. Let's sing a song as we finish, and I hope it will you'll find the